Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, the host of the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. Thank you so much for joining me again today. It is a wonderful, wonderful week, and thank you so much for the feedback that you have given on Monday's episode on confidence. Just a quick reminder that we are only 3 weeks away from Shout Out Live, Radical Women, proudly sponsored by Spotify. I am so excited about this event. I'm so excited about the panels and the workshops and the lineup. It is just getting better and better by the week. Just in case you didn't know, we have workshops run by the Slum Flower, Emmy Award-winning content creator Chastity Now, Sophie Herdman from Acast, who has been responsible for some of my incredible sponsorships on the podcast, including Bose and Estee Lauder. And we have podcast production workshops so that you can learn how to record yourself in a way that sounds like the pros. So make sure you head on over to solivefestival.com. And if you register, you get £10 off your ticket. And we'll be giving every registration person a free thing at the festival. So make sure you get registered at solivefestival.com. Come through. It's on July 14th in King's Cross. You do not want to miss this. It is the UK's very first podcast festival for women. So come through. And guys, you are welcome as well. Don't just think you can't come. It's just an all-female lineup, great voices, great talent. Come through. Right. I'm back again with brand and marketing expert Prisca Moyesa, and we are answering your questions this time. And your questions have included, is podcasting really profitable given your target demographic and Black listening preferences? Ooh, how do you finance a podcast? How to implement a complex marketing strategy with limited time? What do you think of the new IGTV? And I want to plan an event, but I'm scared no one's going to come. And I get loads of callbacks for my interviews, but I never get chosen. Is there anything I can try? So all of that and more in this episode. Let's go.
So first question, what is it?
Okay. Call me off guard there. Okay. Is podcasting really profitable given the effect of target demographics and Black listening preferences? Huh?
Wow. That's a loaded question. I would say, to answer the first half of the question, is podcasting profitable? For some people, yes, it is. The effect of target demographics depends on your target demographic, to be honest with you, and the kind of general net worth, so to speak. And I don't even like to speak of people in those terms. I find it a bit redundant or reductive. But generally speaking, if you, for example, your podcast is about golf, that is a lot of high net worth individuals listening to your podcast. So even if you only have 200 of them, you likely could get a very good sponsor who's interested in talking to 200 golfers who have a big bank account, for example. So it just depends. But now that you've added Black listening preferences, there are definitely audiences trying to reach Black people. To find them and to get them to actually invest in that is a different story. In my experience, it's been notoriously difficult. And we have not found the secret sauce to getting brands to really invest in Black, predominantly Black audiences. And the network had at one point, I think, something like 88% Black Black listening Black listeners, and that was like more than a year ago. This show is a lot more diverse, so it has captured a much broader sponsor base, I would say. So even the kind, like, even when you hear the programmatic ads added in, they're quite varied. So you'll get like insurance. So when you have like a much wider base, even if it still slants slightly more to the ethnic market, that tends to perform better. And I can attest to that being with the festival as well, where last year it wasn't that we didn't get sponsors. We had some really fantastic sponsors, and Acast was one of them. They did put the money in for the festival. However, we couldn't convince, we even had one major supplier of audio equipment relay that, oh, it's a bit ethnic, the festival last year. Bear in mind, like, the reach of that festival is infinitely bigger than this year's. The lineup, it was bigger in many ways than last year's, last year compared to this year. But this year, there's a lot more white and Asian women on the lineup this time. It's a lot broader than just black audiences and black speakers. And so we've actually managed to attract infinitely more sponsors. And maybe that is the inclusion of white women, I don't know. But I would say, given black listening preferences, I guess sponsors like to see a bit more variation in my experience. But I can't, I don't know a show that's like super profitable just off the back of them being like solely a black audience. Even The Read has a very mixed audience base. So they have Squarespace and Casper and every sponsor under the sun. So even the big black shows in America, for example, have a varied audience base that attracts a big sponsor base, and they also have massive listener numbers that is, that enable them to really have a serious conversation about it, even though they're probably like something like 80% plus black listeners. So it just depends. It depends if you can hit critical, if you can hit like a really huge number on audience, then chances are you'll be fine. But that's really difficult because it's a very crowded landscape. So yes, it's profitable. With just black listeners, there's probably a brand out there. You just need to find them.
I think in the UK, what we're seeing is a lot of struggle because we're moving at the pace of, and not moving at the pace, we're innovating around this on the same things that the States are innovating on. However, the market isn't necessarily ready and the numbers don't match. So the internet has blurred the lines. However, when we're executing things we see that are successful in the US, we're thinking, where's all these people? Just the market's not ready. And there are people that aren't so for it. So I think it's going to change as time goes on. But I say, look to like Europe and stuff. Like, there's loads of French people, German people that live in these countries, sorry, that are open to like listening to the podcast or like investing money as well, and traveling down for shows and stuff. I know people that, especially when I go to France, like I have so many friends there now because of like the internet. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
people do expand. Travel.
Expand.
We had loads of people travel outside of London and outside of the UK to the festival last year because it was the first of what it was. So no one had ever put together all of these black podcasters. So there are people that value it. It's just a case of finding them and connecting the dots. But you have to go beyond maybe just the UK for sure. A lot of my listeners are in the US. For example, with this show. And I'm cool with it. Hey, US peeps, how you doing? Anyway, the next question. How do you finance your podcast? This is a very podcast heavy question. How do you finance it? Priska, how do you finance yours? You don't.
I don't.
Exactly.
I just
guess that's the answer, right?
I made money and I bought equipment.
I'm dead. Helpful.
It's not reoccurring. It's not.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, I just, like, we just have equipment that we have that we use for client work and stuff like audio equipment. So if I was to go serious, I could, because we bought equipment and we get the money back through working with clients because we do videography and we do audio and stuff like that at events and on campaign, like on shoots and stuff. So, but that's just the money coming in through the business. So the business, finances, all of that stuff.
Yeah. I guess your podcast in some ways also supports your wider business goals as well.
Yeah.
Like it complements it.
Yes.
Not reach. That you set it up with the intention of it being that, but it complements what you do already. So it makes sense that it be financed through the business as well.
Exactly.
I just live in privilege, to be honest. Like I actually cannot answer this with any... I can't say that I have a typical setup to every podcaster because I don't. FA really did learn how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He spent a lot of time, close to probably like 1,000 hours plus of just learning, and continues to learn, and bought the equipment. And the equipment we have, it's rough, like it definitely runs into the several thousands of pounds. And he knows how to do it. So in terms of the financing, I'm just really fortunate that my business partner is a sound engineer,
yeah.
Which means that I don't have to do any of that stuff for myself. However, for other people that come onto the network, because of how we work with content creators, for example, some of them can't afford to hire a sound engineer. It's expensive.
Yeah.
So with the network structure, sometimes how we work with people is that we offer production as a line of credits, if you will. So we tell you... we'll give you X amount of episodes. This is how much these episodes are going to cost. And then we help you monetize that content over your episode course. So that's kind of how we work with some content creators. And then we also have like really subsidized the cost of a sound engineer. So we have now membership options that mean you can record and edit with us for what is less than the cost of working with like a major recording studio that would be in central London, which costs anywhere from like £60 to £100 an hour. It doesn't cost that much. We charge a lot less. So we have different ways to basically ensure that we still fulfill our mission, which is to champion underrepresented voices. But yeah, in terms of financing it, you have to want to do it. In terms of buying equipment, to get good equipment or decent equipment, you have to put the money in.
And basically,
usually if you're just going for your own setup, it's a microphone. And maybe Adobe Edition, so £17 a month. Or if you want, you can use Audacity, and that's free. So it's really a one-off cost. It's just how much do you want to initially invest in your podcast? And that's a decision I cannot make for you.
There we go.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
Next question.
What do you think of the new IGTV? Is it worth creating for it? Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Imri's going hard with IGTV.
First of all,
she's putting my agency to shame.
That is a joke.
We've created the channel. but in my opinion, of course, like it's a new platform. It's another way to reach people. It's effectively Instagram stories that's an hour long / YouTube. You're able to upload things on there. And it's going to grow because it's new. So people are going to be interested in watching stuff. You're going to be able to capture more attention because it is a new platform. And anything, and it's cross-promotion, you know. You're literally, and I think it informs, if you have IGTV downloaded on your phone, it informs people that have IGTV downloaded on their phone that you've uploaded something on IGTV.
Wait, so there's like a separate Instagram app to it now,
yes,
as well? Oh.
Yes, well... I have the separate app. I don't know if you use it. You don't. You just do it from your phone.
I just do it from the standard Instagram.
Imri's got hacks that I didn't even know.
You can just do it from the straight Instagram. You don't need to do anything else.
Man didn't even know that. Mine didn't show up until I downloaded the app.
I'm dead.
So maybe I tried to download it too quickly. Well, there we go. So, but it informs you if somebody, when you uploaded something today, it informed me that you did so through the IGTV logo at the top. It's amazing in that way, and it's very nice and colorful. I say 100% create specialized content for that platform.
Yes, I agree. I really like it. I remember me and Sarah found out when it was happening on the day, and we were like, it's over for you, over for you hoes, because we're about to start creating all kinds of shenanigans. I'm always really excited about new developments in in tech in general, but also where social media marketing is concerned, I like trying new things. And obviously I've been using YouTube and experimenting with how I like can create video on the fly, because it's something that I'm trying to learn and just put a little bit of effort into doing better at. So I put Imrie Drinks on YouTube originally, but YouTube gets on my nerves. I actually really enjoyed doing it on Insta Stories. It's just that Insta Stories were too damn short. I just want to record my one drink review. It's not even like they're exciting reviews. They're kind of dead, and I like that about them. It's just how dead I am at reviewing things. But I was like, as soon as IGTV came about, I was like, I immediately knew this is it. Me and my Insta story reviews are now, they've now got a home. Mm-hmm. So I did one pretty much when I got the app, or when Instagram kindly gave it to me. I just recorded something really quick for a drink review, because I was in Citizen M and they had like some great drinks there. And I did one, and it was cool. It works quite nicely. You can see you can see people commenting on it, unlike with Insta stories where it goes.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Go straight to your DMs. So I quite like that public facing conversation that you can have. I definitely think it's worth it. Whether they stick with it is going to be interesting, because I don't know how, like, they haven't figured out all of the kinks for it yet, so I'm quite intrigued. But I like it so far. I do see myself actually watching people's stuff, and some people have got some really like upgraded merched out like decked out productions, and that's really cool too, because it's now shot all in portrait,
vertically,
which is really cool. So even now that it exists, even for the festival, we're working with Prisca on video stuff. The first thing I said as soon as, like, 2 days ago, I was like, so we want to do this on IGTV only. Which is probably a brave choice, because maybe if it doesn't exist in like 2 years, what will we do with that content that was...
But we'll save it.
Would have been great for YouTube, for example.
We'll save it.
But Prisca's a professional. She's going to sort it out.
Yeah,
but
I'm excited to use it.
But it's really cool. I like it so far. I really like it. So yes, Jason, you should. You should create some content for it. It is worth it. Next question. I want to plan an event, but I'm scared nobody will come. What should I do, Marissa? Well, plan it. I'm joking. Don't just plan it.
It's a reasonable thing to be scared about. Everyone, no one wants an empty room.
Nope.
If you're scared, if you're genuinely scared, then make the event free. And then build a relationship with the people that came, so that when you do your next event that's paid, you've got people to market to. So free events, most people come at double the numbers of capacity, because just know that about 40% of people are not going to show up.
Yep.
Because that's just how it is. Do it on a Wednesday.
Even with paid events, 40% still don't show up.
it's true. Do it on a Wednesday and Thursday to be safe.
Why Wednesday and Thursday?
Just days people are usually free to go to events after 5 p.m. You're more likely to get people to go to events on Wednesdays and Thursdays, especially after 5 p.m. Because Thursdays are the new Fridays. Yeah. And Fridays, everyone seems to be doing something, whether it means going to sleep, or if it means going out for drinks with friends they haven't seen, or that work super hard. So that's if you want to play it safe. But also start small. Like, you could deliberately make an intimate event, or do something that you know the current market or your current demographic are interested in. So do your research into what the event's going to be about, and hopefully those things help. But also don't be scared of stuff. Like, even if you are scared of stuff, let me not tell you how to feel, but even if you are scared of stuff, it's perfectly normal.
Like, basically what Prisca said. everything what you said. I don't have anything different to add other than, yeah, which you said anyway, research who the audience is. Find out if it's something that they want and or need. And usually if you're planning an event, ideally you would have other people involved. So unless it's like an actual party or you want to throw a party in a club, I assume it's kind of a business event, or maybe like you'll have some speakers or a panel or something. Utilize the networks of those people that you want to get involved. And when you ask them, not everyone, people will speak for free. So if there's financial restrictions, don't be afraid to ask, because all you can do is ask. But yeah, generally make it free. Make sure you have some good people involved and make your objectives really clear. Like, what are people going to get when they, what do you want people to get when they leave your event? And how are you going to measure that success? Those are just some things to think about, because then you can work backwards from there and make sure you're creating something from it. But don't be scared that no one will show up, because then all you can do is invite your friends to show up.
Which I went to an event and it was like all her friends were there, and that was half of the people in the room, and I was like, big up this.
Listen, if I could get my friends to actually just show up and do anything for me besides like, oh, I'll help out at the event, like sometimes I actually just want you to come. Like, sometimes just come and enjoy yourselves. So yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
I need better friends, clearly.
Same.
Next question.
Is it my turn?
It is.
My phone stopped loading.
Oh, okay, I'll do it. I keep getting loads of interviews and callbacks for jobs, but I never seem to get chosen. Is there anything I can try?
Honor. Well, big up you, first of all, for getting all those interviews, because your CV or your cover letter must be right. So mm-hmm. I think you should, first of all, sell your services and say that you've had 100%
interview rate.
I'm just trying to help you guys flip money here. So, yeah. So definitely do that. Your interviews. Do you make eye contact? Mm. Stare them dead in the eye. That's so creepy. They feel nervous until they turn away. Cause that actually, I always do well at interviews. I've never had an interview and not gotten the job.
Oh
yeah.
I used to be able to say that.
And I've never proposed something face to face and not had to work with that client. It may not have been that project, but that client's always remembered me because I stare at people.
You're doing it to me now. I'm actually mostly scared.
So like, not creepy, but like, just stare at them and always compliment people.
Oh,
compliment people always.
What kind of compliments are appropriate for a job interview, by the way?
I don't know. Maybe we should role play.
Oh.
Ask me something.
Hi, Prisca. How are you this evening?
No, but not like that. But like, ask me an interview question.
Interview question. Oh. Why do you think you should work for the Shout Out Network? That's like the most common question.
No issue. Why should I think I should? Okay. Not in that instance. So before, like, now I've just like double backed on what I said. But no, like, so before you answer questions, try and compliment them. So like, just ask them about their day or like what they're wearing or like, football's on, World Cup at the moment, talk about World Cup, da da da, before the even in between the interview, or like, okay, Shout Out Network. So I could talk about Shout Out Network and then maybe refer it back to something that you know that person's paid attention to. So for example, let's say Shout Out Networks, one of their sponsors are BBC and Acast. So I could even ask, like, first of all, like, what platforms do you guys use predominantly when it comes to your podcasts, and just do something that's relatable that you know they would care about, because then they feel like, oh, like, they've researched me, they know me a little bit. Okay, I'm interested in this person. Mm-hmm. See it as like a date, if that makes sense. But obviously don't be extra. When I mean date, I mean be super nice and try work your hardest to compliment them and make it about them. Dates are always about the other person. That's what I mean.
If everyone's going to a date making it about the other person, do you have any conversation?
Well, hopefully then that other person wants to make it about you. So it's like a constant back and forth. Like me and you, like we're constant. No, we talk about ourselves. But
I'm dead.
No, but we do ask about each other. So those are my tips. I mean, that's unfortunate that you've got all these interviews and not one person.
I know why. But I will leave that to a whole other.
Oh, you do?
Kind of.
Can you say it?
It's largely down to institutional racism.
Oh, is it? Then then there's nothing you could do, mate.
What? That's not advice. No, it's institutional.
What I mean is, you know what? I don't want my people or anyone that struggles with these things, to stress themselves about it and be in spaces where they don't feel like themselves. It's not worth it because it's all temporary. And I'm tired of people compromising who they are for the sake of others. I'm so tired of it. And I wish I could just stop it. So what I do now is I've given up trying to impress people, that I just go and hang around or talk to the people that are even welcoming of somebody of my genetic makeup. Mm-hmm. I just keep it simple as that. So, like, go for institutions that you know almost have to or want to embrace people like you. Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
Find them, because you don't want to, it's too much stress. Like, life is too short to be trying to impress people that are hellbent on disliking you just for the color of your skin.
Agreed. You're not gonna know until you get into the space. And typically what's very common is the line of questioning of what experience do you have is a normal question. Fine. Mm-hmm. It's when do you have this experience, which are very specific, or the line kind of crosses over into, well, why would I have this experience if you see my CV and you know it? Basically, the hoops just become a little bit higher and harder to jump through. So just being able to identify where this is going. And usually you'll sit in an interview and know, you kind of brought me in here for an exercise, as opposed to I interviewed X amount of BAME candidates and this how many people. I worked in recruitment for too long to know the spin. And it's really unfortunate that so many of us fall into that trap and then get disheartened. But you're right. Find the institutions that clearly have that. Look on people's LinkedIn company pages and scroll through, because honestly, you'd be shocked at how white most companies in this London are. And so chances of you breaking in and being the first, I mean, it could happen.
But
you might go in there and find that it's not as inclusive as they say.
And
is
I don't
in the
want
interview.
You to waste your time.
Yeah.
I don't want you to waste your time. Time is too precious. Well, you are valuable. Clearly, your CV is banging. Clearly, you're successful in whatever you're doing for you to even want to go for a job. So big up you, first of all, for even trying to get a job and doing the right thing out here, because it's super hard. Mm. And I know getting rejected must be super hard on your self-esteem, but forget that. The problem is them. It's personal. The issue is personal and it has nothing to do with you. And so go where you're celebrated, again, much rather than where you're just tolerated or just accepted for 5 minutes to make them feel good. Forget that. Fuck that. Don't do that shit. I'm just not here for it. Amen. I'm not here for it. And I'm turning 26 and I'm starting to realize it now, that spent all my time trying to lick this person's ass to get nothing out of it.
Yeah. It's almost entirely worth it.
You get nothing out of it. No one's saying cuss them out. No one's saying be rude to them, but don't waste your precious energy and time on something like that. Just don't do it. Life's too short.
Yeah. Amen. I have nothing to add in terms of anything you could try. Try companies that
and hit us up. We'll help.
Yeah, I usually know some pretty good places and you'll be fine. But I'm also all about calling it out when you see it. So, but not by name. You can call it out in different ways. And I definitely am. If you can write, or you know someone that can write, maybe just say, oh, by the way, this has been happening.
Yeah. Own up to your experiences as well and tell someone, and someone can relate. But I promise you, me and Imri are here to make the UK a better place when it comes to work. We're here to hire people that will get paid what they deserve. We're here to create a better industry. We're just going to change the game. Just watch the next 10 years. I guarantee it. We're going to listen back to this and say, we said that. And we're going to make it. We're going to make a change, because we're tired. We're so tired.
I'm forever hiring people that look like me, just because I know that the opportunity does not exist elsewhere.
Boom.
So we do it. We do the work. Live. Walk it like we talk it. What?
That's the most gangster Migos.
Walk it like I talk it. No, I genuinely, I'm always about how can I hire people?
She is.
Always. All right. Thank you, Prisca. This was amazing.
Thank you, Marie. It's been a pleasure. So enjoyable.
All right. I hope that was helpful for all of you listening. And we are going... Wait, Priska, do you have anything to plug? This is like the last one.
Hit us up for any video services, commercials, event coverage, Instagram story, high quality content, any ideas. If you want us to do some white labeling, we're open to having a meeting about that. Just hit us up. We're trying to keep busy. We're trying to keep busy out here. You know, the goal, and it's looking very likely, is to get a little office space.
Ooh.
So, and then hire some people full time by the beginning of 2009, end of 2018, beginning of 2019. So, yeah, I can just only be grateful.
You put it here first. Exclusive. Yes. yes. Amen. I hope that works out.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Priska.
Bye.
Oh, a massive thank you to Priska. Oh, I can't believe it is our last episode together for this season. It's just so sad to think about, but hopefully you'll see us very, very soon together. Make sure you're following Priska at Priska Moyesa at PriskaMoyesa on Twitter and on Instagram. Her feed is just super positive, loads of inspiration and amazing video content. And if you like the way she's been doing her video content, make sure you hire her and her team at moyesa.co. That's MoyesaCo. They are really amping it up this season, so come through. If you like how this podcast is made and you think that you can do what I do, then you need to reach out to the Shoutout Network. To find out more about membership, visit shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. And don't forget to go to solifestival.com and register for Shoutout Live Radical Women. It's going to be an incredible day of accelerator workshops, panel discussions, and live podcast shows by myself, at Wannabe, of course, and Not Another Book Podcast, the latest literature smash. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please do leave a rating and review. That is one of the ways that the show grows, besides you telling a friend about it. So if you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please do let a friend know, because it's good to share the knowledge and make sure that everyone is growing and shining at the same time as us. I will catch you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.